Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Journeys of the Light, Lilydale, New York. The season is upon us soon, and the mediums are coming back home, and there's all sorts of interesting events coming up this summer. So I want to pass you over to Joyce, the producer, for a few moments. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, everybody. Tonight we are doing something we have never done before on the show, and we are doing the show in front of a live studio audience here in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, at the Unity Church with the Reverend Jen Shepherd. So everybody in the studio, if you'd like to say hello.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to another edition of Journey of Light with Reverend John White, a registered medium in Lilydale, New York. We are taking questions from both the live audience and from callers, so you are welcome to call in with your questions of a spiritual, mystical nature or to share a story. 718-739-8818. John?
Okay. For a few moments, I want to talk about natural law. You've heard spiritualists talk about natural law. And the three basic natural laws that are unchangeable is, the first one is the mind. And that means that there's no such thing as your mind, my mind, and God's mind. There's only one mind, and we all live and move and have our being in it. Okay? So theoretically speaking, you are not in the world is in you. So when you woke up into the world that you created. Don't be surprised. Okay? And so the first natural law is the mind, that we're all part of the same universal mind. And now the next natural law is correspondence. All right? So within the mind of God, we can correspond to people in the spirit world, people all over the place, and everything is connected to everything else. So is the physical body, so is the spiritual body, so is the macrocosm, so is the different cosmos of the universe. And so we're all connected through mind. And so, for instance, when Edgar Cayce did his work, like I demonstrated a little bit tonight, when you say somebody's name to us in the physical world, by just hearing their name, we can go visit them, okay? Or when Jen and I were basically giving messages from the spirit world, it's not that we're going there. We don't have to go out of our minds. It's all here. It's all happening right here inside of you, okay? And then the third natural law is vibration. And Einstein said it's all energy. That's all there is to it. Create the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but create that reality. This is not philosophy, it's physics. So the three basic natural laws is, they call it mentalism, it's all mind, and then we can correspond inside that mind, and then we're all giving ourselves away by our vibration.
Our first question this evening comes from a studio audience member, Valerie. Valerie, you can come on up. What is the difference between meditation and sitting with spirit? How can I tell if I'm in the spirit?
Okay, so I'm going to get you to ask that in your own words, honey.
Well, those were my words. I'm meditating, and I love it, and sitting with spirit. There's supposed to be a difference,
okay.
And I'm not sure
okay.
When I'm really with spirit.
Okay. So when you're sitting in meditation, remember the whole thing about it's all mind? Okay,
mm-hmm.
So when you're, the purpose of meditating is necessarily not to communicate with people who have passed on, is to communicate with your higher self and awaken your higher self, all right? And how people on the other side of life communicate with us is that they think at us. So let me ask you a trick question, okay? How do you tell the difference between you thinking of somebody in the spirit world like a grandmother or a grandfather and them thinking of you? How do you tell the difference?
I don't think there is a difference.
Oh, there is a difference. Okay. When you think of them, when you do it sincerely, they feel your presence. Okay? And when they think of, when they, So when you think of them, they feel your presence. And all you need to do is be sincere, okay? When they think of you, they will come through one of the five modalities. So they'll come either as a vision, or they'll come as a sound, a name. They'll come as an aroma or perhaps a taste or even a feeling. And so in the Bible, it's called the ability to discern the spirit. That means being able to tell them, you know, one of the natural laws is it's all energy. So they give themselves away by their vibration. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Now, the purpose of meditating is to awaken your higher self. I always like to ask this question. Do you know of any spiritual master teacher who does not meditate? And
no.
The answer is no, no. So learning how to meditate is awakening your intuition, and then the people on the other side of life can come and work with you. So when you meditate, you raise your vibrations, okay? And then they lower their vibrations, and there else goes the communication, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And, you know, a lot of us have that question because sometimes it is difficult to tell the difference between, for instance, what's the difference between an intuitive thought and a rational thought? Okay? Well, an intuitive thought just comes and it's there. For instance, if I were to ask everybody who's listening and the people here in the audience, if your higher mind were to give you a color, what's the first color that comes to your mind? Okay? And all of a sudden, you got a color. Well, that came from nowhere. That's how intuition works. And so when you become mindful is learning how to observe yourself, think, learning how to observe yourself being intuitive. Okay? And I think I heard Jan talk about that when then that song said, like, I'm not my eyes, I am light. Yeah. So you're not your thoughts, you have thoughts. You're not your emotions, you have emotions. You're not your physical body or your five senses, you have a physical body with five senses. Okay? You are a holy divine spirit experiencing life in this world. Okay. And so here we are. Why don't we say hello to Jen here? Hi. How are you today?
Hi, John.
Can you tell us a little bit about your church?
Well, this is Unity in Edinburgh, and you're here tonight on a combined Bolts of Love and Unity healing service. So that's been awesome.
And when is your services here?
We have 11 o'clock Sunday morning and 7 p.m. Wednesday evening for healing.
Okay, beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and so we're welcoming you to call in and to ask questions. And who do we have next?
Okay, our next question comes from one of the founders of Bolts of Love, Karen McGrath. She wants to know, what benefits do you receive from the John of God Crystal Healing Bed?
Okay. What benefits do you receive from the John of God Healing Bed? Have you had that experience?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me just, some people out there who are listening don't have a clue when you say John of God. Who is John of God? John of God is a medium, and they call it spiritism, not spiritualism, spiritism in Brazil. He's a medium. Okay. And he's an amazing healer, and he has spiritual guides and angels just like we do in spiritualism. And what happens is that the different crystals are aligned with the different chakras, okay? And so now we know people who have got physical healings, literally. Some people may experience ancestors that come and visit them. Some people may go into a trance. Some people may not feel anything at all, okay? So it's all individual, but it is known that John of God got the idea of the crystal bed from his spirit guides and angels, and they're the ones that gave him that, and a lot of amazing healings have happened with that. Have you had that experience yet, any one of these experiences?
I've been on the bed several times, and I go far away, I know I do, but I don't really remember very much, if anything. So I'm not sure. That's why I asked what some of the benefits were.
Okay. Well, when spirit is working with you, they put you in a daydream because they want you out of the way. Okay? So more than likely, you are going into a light trance, and they are working with you. Okay? So again, remember, it's all individual. It's all individual. Okay, thank you very much for asking me that question. Thank you. Okay. So here we are, Journeys of the Light. radio show coming live from Embro.
Okay. Next, we have a question from Stephen. When and how did you realize you were a psychic medium? And how long have you known this? Did you jump right in, or did this happen gradually over time?
Okay. My first experience was when I was 6 years old. Okay. And but I didn't really, just like a lot of people. What is your name again?
Stephen.
Stephen, just like a lot of people, they have psychic experiences or mediumship experiences, but we don't know what it feels like, so we don't acknowledge it until we meet other people who have that experience. And we say, oh, yeah, I had that experience, okay? But literally, it all blossomed way back in 1972. The Beatles went to India to learn how to meditate with the Maharishi, and I was playing rock and roll music at the time, and I learned how to meditate. And it just spontaneously began to happen. And I had the opportunity to study literally with people from around the world. So I do believe that we can all learn how to do this. And what is your first experience?
Actually, when I came here to Unity for a mediumship demonstration, and I heard from several of my relatives, and then I took a workshop that following weekend, and I experienced talking to people from the other side.
Okay, that's us. That's normal. You know, it says in the Bible, faith is the evidence of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Well, in spiritualism, I don't have faith because I haven't seen things. I have faith because I've experienced things. I've known things, okay? So there's the difference. You know, in the early Christian church, they would stand up and give messages also, by the way, okay? And so all the Bibles in the world were written by people who use this part of their mind. And in spiritualism, instead of some of the other spiritual sciences, we continue this working with the gifts of the Spirit. So we're very happy that you have that gift and that you have awakened. Okay?
Thank you
very much for the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So Lilydale is upon us. And how many people here in the audience basically come to Lilydale? A few of you. Okay, well, we want to welcome you. If you're ever there on a Sunday night, I have an opportunity of teaching a class every Sunday night at 8:30 in the Healing Temple. And we try to cover three subjects. And the three subjects are how your higher mind thinks, how to turn your psychic ability off and on at will, and how to communicate with your loved ones and your different angels. And here's Joyce.
Next, we have a caller. Deborah, she's from Pittsburgh, and she wants to know, John, if you can tune in and see whether she's on her spiritual path or what more she should be doing, and if her spirit guides have any messages for her. Deborah, are you here with us?
Hi,
John. How are you tonight? Hi.
Good.
Okay. What I'm doing when I'm looking at you intuitively, I seem to be seeing pictures of the different chakras. Do you know anything about the chakras?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, think of yourself like a beautiful musical instrument. If you put yourself in tune, then the angels and ancestors are come play through you, okay? I am literally getting a symbol that represents the different chakras. So I feel that you should meditate on the chakras, okay? And specifically the third eye, okay? The third eye is the chakra where it's the intuitive mind. I'm also looking at the chakra that represents the throat, which represents inspirational speaking. Do you do inspirational speaking?
No.
Well, okay,
I don't.
I feel, you do?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, don't be sorry, but I believe you will. Okay? And I, you know, also, as I'm tuning into the throat chakra, I want to talk about singing with you. Okay, so I get a feeling, I'm not saying you don't have perfect pitch, but you don't. But anyways, I have a feeling that I see you singing, which will open up that chakra, which will help you to open up that expression of expressing yourself. And I really do believe that inspirational speaking is one of the gifts of your spirit that will come to you, okay? But meditate, do chakra meditations, because I feel as though it'll help to tune up the different energies in you. You understand
that? What is chakra for this? Speaking?
It's the throat chakra. It's the color light blue.
Okay.
Okay?
I'm not one to go up in front of crowds and speak.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, you're welcome, honey. Okay. And so I certainly believe that, you know, we're all, the good news, if you have a right brain, you're psychic. I mean that literally, by the way. Okay? And so Einstein said that the intuitive mind is a sacred gift and the rational brain is a faithful servant. We have created a society where we honor the servant and forgot the gift. Okay? So the gift is being able to be intuitive. So when Einstein was developing his inventions and MC equals squared, he imagined things. He used that beautiful imagination. He traveled through his imagination, and then he mathematically figured it out. I have to tell you a secret. He wasn't very good at math, by the way. And I mean that literally. And his wife helped him to figure all that out.
Okay. Regina has a question. How do you define spirit as versus soul?
Okay. How do you define spirit versus soul? Okay. You are a spirit now as much as you can be, living in a soul that has multitude of bodies. Okay. Was that your question? Okay. So you're a spirit now as much as you can be. Okay. Living in a soul. Okay. And that soul, if you believe in the possibility of reincarnation, has multitude of bodies. Okay. And so the spirit is, for instance, they asked this great master teacher, do you believe that you live after you die? Do you believe that you live after you die? And you got to get your metaphysical cap on to understand this one. He says, how can I die? I was never born. I am that which is changeless, observing that which is changing. Okay? And so, again, you've always been here and you always will be here. And the soul is the body that you use in order to have all these different experiences. But eventually, you go back into being pure spirit. Now, do you have another question you'd like to ask? Or what is your experience? What is your interpretation of the difference between and soul and spirit? And why do you ask that question?
Because I'm trying to integrate the two in a way that's harmonious. I know that I've had past lives. I know that I have these different bubbles or containers of emotional wisdom, shall I say. But I feel right now as though at times my mind isn't in sync with my soul understanding.
Okay. Now, it is the soul that basically goes over, you could say, the sacred contracts before you come into the world. So is really God within you. And the soul is a vehicle that the God of your understanding works through. Okay? Now, the soul has different things to work out, and it is through different past lives that you refine your soul. But your spirit, basically, is perfect the way that it is. Okay? Okay, and thank you very much for asking that question. Okay, so here we are, Journeys of the Light. Now, right here at this time in Lilydale also, there is a healing service going on. Okay? Just like here when we're in Embro. So in Lilydale, there's a healing service going on at this time. And in the summertime, you could sit in front of healers twice a day to get spiritual healing.
Next, we have a question from someone who would like to remain anonymous. So how do you know that healing works? Why doesn't God heal everyone? How do you know if you have a good healer, and do you have to pay for one?
Okay. I believe that at some level, healing works. So when you pray for someone, at some level, it's working. Now, it may not work in the way that your ego wants it to work, okay? But it's impossible for you to get a healing unless at some level it's actually working, okay? You know, that's a mystery that none of us really know. We're not pretending to know that answer. But for those of you who have had healing, I personally had a healing. I remember one dream I had, it was a lucid dream, and I had kidney stones, and I had a dream of I was walking with Jesus, and Jesus was walking through the different towns and communities, and literally he came into my lucid dream. He touched me, and I was healed of kidney stones, just like that. Now, there are other times where I wished for healing, and it didn't happen, okay? So sometimes we also go through what is known as a healing crisis. So if we are ill, sometimes that illness basically helps us to understand ourselves more and helps us to go through the trials and tribulations. But at some level, yes, you are healed. Not perhaps in a way that your ego would like it to be, but at some level, you are healed. Okay? And the last question is, do you have to pay for it? No, I don't believe you do. But if you go to a doctor, and if the doctor has children, has to pay his bills, then if you don't pay the doctor, then the doctor isn't going to be able to practice, so no one will get a healing.
The next question is a question that a lot of people can relate to. It comes from Jess in our studio audience. I keep seeing certain numbers throughout my day, specifically 144.
Now, I've heard of that before. Come up here, okay? I've heard of that before, and I get a feeling that it's like a trigger mechanism, okay? So what you should do is that when you see those numbers, you should ask yourself, okay, what was I just thinking before I saw those numbers, okay? So it may be like a spirit saying to you, okay, like tapping you on the shoulder, say, okay, listen, okay? So mindfulness is learning how to observe yourself think. Learning how to observe yourself feel. So again, the next time it happens to you, pay attention to what was going through your head just before you saw the numbers, okay? And maybe you can explain to the audience out there, because I've heard of this before, of how it really relates to you.
It happens throughout the day, just seemingly at random, but I'm usually focused and in the moment when it does. And there'll be other times when I'm not, and the numbers will be different. It'll be like 143 or a 145, and my thought patterns won't be as pure, I guess.
Okay. Okay, I want to tell you, thank you for that. I want to tell you an unusual story. In Montreal, where I came from, there was this young man who was very good at reading cards. But we couldn't have him, we didn't want to have him stand up in church and basically started reading people's cards. So what he did, he looked at a person, he would say, I see the Ace of Diamonds, the Three of Clubs, and the Two of Spades with you. And then he would interpretate the meaning, okay? So when you see numbers, it's called numerology. When you see numbers, if you become a little bit more understanding of what those numbers mean, the numbers may be actually a trigger mechanism to give you messages. Do you understand that? Okay. Thank you very much for that question. And throughout time, especially in the Kabbalah, they use numbers and numerology in order to trigger the intuitive mind. And actually, quantum physics, which is the ability to measure energy behind physical matter, they mathematically try to figure out through numbers. So numbers is one of those universal languages. Okay, so how is everybody doing? Okay. And so here we are at Journeys of the Light Radio, and here's Joyce.
Next, we actually have a caller from New Jersey. Her name is Lisa, and she is hoping you can help her a little bit of life direction. She's hoping you can tune in to her husband's health as a medical intuitive, and if you see her moving soon or going into a new house.
Okay. Now, when we tune in to someone's health, we always acknowledge that I'm not a doctor, so I know you're going to use your own intelligence. That's something very, very important. Okay? So I get a feeling as I'm tuning into her husband, I'm kind of sensing medication, and I'm not telling him to be off the medication, okay? But as I'm going through time here, I feel as though he'll have an opportunity to take medication that's not as strong, okay? And I seem to be in his digestive system when I'm, okay, got it. I seem to be in his digestive system when I'm tuning into him. And so sometimes if there's a lot of acidity in our digestive system, if we try to make our body a little bit more alkaline, it'll go a long way to helping him. And the other thing I want to say, the three causes of diseases are genetic, things we can inherit from our family tree, and how our emotions affect us, and also everything we put in our mouth ends up being good medicine or bad medicine. So there's a little bit of a genetic connection with this person's family that has to do with the heart. So obviously, by eating an intelligent diet will go a long way to helping him.
Okay. Are you there with us, Lisa?
Hello?
Yeah, you also had a question about moving, right?
Yes. Where, you know, you see any changes coming in 6 months from now?
Is this with moving?
Yeah, moving or anything in my
okay.
life.
Okay, let me just tune in to the moving. Say your address where you live, and I'll go visit you, and I'll try to tell you how long you're going to live there. What's the address where you live?
Oh, you need the address?
Yeah, I want to go visit you.
Oh, okay. I'm down here by the beach.
Well, that's where you live?
Yeah, down by the beach.
Okay.
In Shipbottom, New Jersey.
Okay. This is only my interpretation. It's not clear, but I get a feeling it'll be about a year before you actually get to move. As I'm tuning into, I'm getting a feeling of a condominium with you. It doesn't feel like it's new, but it's bright and a lot of good sunshine. Okay.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to Journey of Light with John White, a registered Lilydale medium, and we are coming to you live from the Unity Church in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, with a live studio audience. And we actually have a question from one of the audience members here, Bob. Now, Bob actually has multiple questions. Just sit down. Bob says, my life feels stagnant. What do I need to do to move it along? I've been told by more than one person that I should be channeling technical information. Do I have any future in that or mediumship itself, myself? Will I ever hear from my guides or angels? They seem to be a quiet bunch. Lastly, how do I heal my frozen shoulder, and how do I improve my own healing abilities for myself and for others?
Okay, so why don't you come up here, young man? Okay. Okay, let's get back to that saying of Einstein. It's all energy, that's all there is to it. Create the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but create that reality. So as far as healing is concerned, healing is also a frequency, okay? So in order for you to heal, and disease is also a frequency, by the way. So in order for you to heal, I don't mean to sound oversimplified with this, but you need to create the frequency of the healing, okay? And so there's different ways you can change your frequency. You can meditate, you can change your diet, you can exercise. There's different things you can do to lift up your frequency. Okay? So that's number one. And as far as communicating with your guides, remember that little thing we said, that think of yourself like a beautiful musical instrument. If you do things to put yourself in tune, okay, then the angels can come and be around you. Now, do you meditate?
Not enough.
Well, thank you. You just heard it from the horse's mouth. Just joking. Okay? And so, yeah, so when we meditate, we go into the same part of the brain that we go to when we're asleep at night, but we're wide awake at the same time. So we get to use a different, literally, we get to use a different part of our brain. Okay? Now, is there a question in there that I didn't get that you'd like to ask personally?
I've been taking some of Jen's excellent classes here on mediumship and stuff, and I just wonder, this, how do I improve my abilities?
Okay. One of the good things to do is that before you come to class, like some people come to class and are tired to sit down, and they have to go through half the class to wake up and become in tune. Do something to tune yourself up even before you show up. So if you show up in tune, okay, then you'll get the full, you'll be able to take full advantage of the class. Okay. Now it is important. There's a natural law of rhythm, Again, so again, if you put yourself in tune, and that literally means meditating almost every day. Okay. And if you do that, when you show up in class, then the guides and angels will be able to work with you. There's one of your guys here that's telling me, and thank God you do have a left brain, a rational brain, but you think a lot. You overthink. And I do get a feeling of, wasn't there a technical question that you asked also?
I've been told I should be channeling technical information. Is that realistic?
But, well, what, I'm seeing a symbol of a chessboard. Okay. And so, you know, thank God the left and the right brain are connected together. You know, like Einstein, he would meditate or he would daydream, and then he would intuitively sense things, and then he would use his left brain through his mathematical equations to prove what he was getting. Okay? So, yes, I do believe it's practical. I saw a chessboard with you. So a chessboard is a symbol that if you do this, this, and this, then this works. You do this, this, and this, this works. So I feel as though that is very practical. Was there a member in your family that was an engineer?
No, but I am.
Oh, you are. Okay. Well, you got it from somewhere. All right. Because you do have that engineer mind. Now, it is possible that one of your ancestors of a long time ago that you didn't know was an engineer. And I think that's why I got that. And sometimes we have a family member on the other side of life who sees that potential in someone living here, and they'll come through and able to help you. So I get a feeling, yes, you do have that engineer mind, okay? And again, when you come to class and meditate before you come to class, so when you get here, you'll be wide open, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Are you interested in North American Native things, sir?
Some degree.
Some degree, because as you were just leaving here, I saw a red feather. I get a feeling of a guide with you. Have you ever done any type of vision quest? A vision quest? He said no. A vision quest is you go off by yourself for a little while, maybe just for a weekend, and then kind of you meditate, you bring your favorite books and do writing, and you kind of like, you just be by yourself and turn off the outside world. And so the angels or your guides would come and speak to you and inspire you. Okay. They would like you to read a book on lucid dreaming. Do you know what lucid dreaming is? They would like you to refresh your mind in lucid dreaming, because I definitely feel as though there's a grandfather that wants to come and communicate with you through lucid dreaming. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Journey of Light with Reverend John White at the Unity Church in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. If you'd like to call in and ask a question or share a story of a spiritual, mystical nature, or a story about special healing you received, mystical dream, we would love to hear from you. 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. And John, we actually have a question for you that comes from Florida, but this person's a little shy, so they don't want to be on the phone. Michelle from South Florida says that she has recently come into a little bit of money, and she's hoping that you can help her, maybe her loved one in spirit can help guide her to the right way to spend it so that she doesn't blow it all. And she's also wondering if you can connect with this special person in spirit and see if they have any messages for her.
Okay.
Her name is Michelle.
Okay. Hi, Michelle. Well, that's a really of reverse psychology, because people are usually phoning to ask, when am I going to get money? Okay. I'm going to joke with you, but I'm being serious. You having and coming into this money is a very well-known kept secret. That means a whole lot of members in your family know about this. Okay? So I want to talk about you investing it in your mind, you investing it in education. I'm also getting a feeling of a piece of land that I see with you purchasing. All right? And so you need to buy. It would be a good idea, because you don't need to do anything. It'd be a good idea for you to buy a piece of land that you plan on living in for the rest of your life. And that's the first impression I got. Okay. And from the person on the other side of life, You must have been thinking of going off on some holiday, some exotic holiday. So they're saying, don't be afraid to spend a little bit. Don't be afraid to spend a little bit of this money simply enjoying yourself. For some reason, I seem to be tuning into Europe and Rome with you. I feel as though it has been in the back of your mind to go there. So I want to encourage you to go there also. And again, on behalf of Lilydale and the mediums, I'd like to thank you for phoning in and asking that question.
And next, we actually have a caller from Tampa, Florida, a very spiritual person who has a healing story to share with us. Mike, are you here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
Hey,
how are
John.
You?
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Now, I want to let everybody know, I know Mike, okay? And Mike, we're actually in a Unity church here, and there's a whole lot of people listening. So what do you want to tell us?
Okay. So probably about 7 years ago, I'm in my living room, and I'm meditating one night, and I feel a presence of somebody really working with me in a pretty serious way. So I feel like, I don't know if you would know what a number eight wire is, but something like around a number eight wire size came into like my right ear, okay? And it felt like somebody was holding my right ankle and then pulled this wire around my brain and then down through the core of my being, and it was roasting hot. And it was a very deep healing. And as I experienced that, I was like bawling, crying. And that's the story.
Okay,
and
now
you
let me
could
ask
probably
you
tap into that, John. This is about 7 years ago. You could probably tap into that and see who was helping me in the higher mind.
Now let's ask you a question. Okay, so did it feel like a male or a female being or an angel, a male or female angel, or was it a relative of your family who came to see to be with you?
No, I don't think it was a relative. I think it was somebody, some higher presence that knew how to help to facilitate very down to the core of my being.
Yeah. Okay. As I'm in tune with that with you, it obviously feels like a higher teacher. And I get a feeling they were working with, in yoga, it's called the nadis, or it's called the meridians in Chinese medicine. They were basically opening up the kundalini energy inside of you. So I would say not long after that, you should have become much more intuitive, or your awareness obviously expanded. Okay? But I do feel it was a higher teacher that came through you to help you and to inspire you. And that's what I get. Do you ever have a kundalini experience? Do you know what that is?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I first had it when I was about 14 years old, and I didn't know what it was. So a few years I would have different experiences with the spirit world, but I was a kid, you know, and you're growing up, and you're not really, my parents were like fundamentalist Catholics, so they didn't really have any experience with this kind of stuff either. So I said stuff to them, and they said, well, this sounds pretty serious. We need to send you to a neurologist. So they send me to a neurologist, and he gives me medication to suppress it. Okay?
Okay.
Because you know when this starts to migrate, you start going through a whole lot of different mental and emotional states as it starts moving through your being.
Okay. You know, I feel as though there's other people that are listening from different parts of the world that have had a similar experience. So I'm very happy that you brought that up. No, you're not crazy. It's a kundalini experience is when the energy moves through your body and opens up the different chakras into your higher self. But as far as that original question, Mike, I do feel as though it was a master teacher, and they were working with your meridians and the nadis inside of you to open up your sacred self. I get a feeling that teacher that came through you is one of the main guides that has been with you from many, many different lives, okay? Anybody ever tell you that you were a priest before?
You had actually told me probably about 6 or 7 years ago that you felt that you asked me when you met me if I was a preacher.
Okay, well, at least I'm consistent. I do believe that you were. But I get a feeling of Egyptian. I really feel more of Egyptian with you.
Right. One of the things that I've experienced this year was being able to see grid lines actually in my yard. Like I'd actually seen lines. You know how there's a lot of the higher beings, angels and stuff, some of them work with grids and sacred geometry.
Now, can you
seen that, you know, through my...
There are a lot of people out there that don't understand what that means. Can you put it in a way that the layperson would understand that?
So sacred geometry is... I don't know if they would know what fractals are, but fractals actually runs through everything. All plant life, all life, period. And sacred geometry actually composes this grid work, let's say electrically and mechanically, but most people can't really see it until they open up their third eye more and more. And mine's been opening as I've been training and practicing. And so I'm becoming aware of things, let's say, that you might be aware of or some other intuitive might be aware of. That potential was there in me, but as I practice more, then that potential opens up more and more for me.
Okay. Thank you.
And really, John, I want to thank you because you've actually helped me to realize some of this potential in me.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Thank you. You're very kind.
With the breathing techniques and some of the other things that you've showed me. And the focus and the discipline. So when you use the focus and the discipline and the training and then repeat that over and over and over and get very systematic about it, then stuff starts to really, your growth starts stepping up in a more advanced way. And not only that, as you do the meditation, the more you focus and the more you're able to laser beam into that, the deeper the penetration of the meditation. So if you're unfocused and you're not doing the meditation and you're not, you know, you're kind of half hitting at it, you're not going to get very far. These guys that have gotten far and women that have gotten far at doing this stuff, we're all serious about their practice.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mike, for that insight. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Now you heard Mike say that discipline is very important. Okay, because when you become disciplined in any of the sciences, you literally make ruts in your brain. Okay, and I believe that if you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, I believe that we could all become a medium. We could all become we're all psychic. But again, practice is very important. Practice is very important.
We have an email question from Jane in Hamburg, New York, and this is a life guidance type of question. She's hoping you can connect with her spirit guides and see if they have a message for her. And also, she specifically wants to ask you about her potential in professional writing. Do you see her completing her book and screenplays and selling them? Do you see her having success in professional writing?
Okay. Well, isn't it interesting? We were just talking about discipline, okay? And so this is not just a glib answer. I do feel as though you need to be a little bit more consistent, okay? And diplomatically, I want to say to you, stop allowing other people to take your energy, all right? So I do get a feeling that I see you as a child, and it looked like you got dressed up in different clothes, and you were pretending that you were in a play, you were pretending that you're on a stage. So that magic has always been with you. Now, I don't have a clue why I'm thinking of Disney World with your Disney, but I think it has to do with being able to imagine. You have that beautiful imagination, and I see you writing, and I get a feeling of it's like it's children plays. I don't know why I'm thinking of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, but I find myself thinking of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So I get a feeling of one of your talents is to write for children, to help children to recognize the magic inside of them, just like the magic inside of you was there also.
Okay. And then we have a text from one of your close friends, John. This question comes from Reverend Joey in Sedona. He asks, is it true that only the light can say I exist with love and light?
Okay, now Joey is a very easy metaphysical teacher, so that may be a little deep. Okay, but everything is light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be full of light, okay, your whole body shall be full of light. Okay, so we are light. We are a manifestation of light. And when the light comes into our life, then the darkness disappears. So we are light.
Thank you, John. And next we have a question from one of our studio audience members here at the Unity Church in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. This question comes from Willow. Willow is just hoping for some encouraging words toward self-care and finding and understanding her purpose. Do I have talents that I can focus on?
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm really asking this for everybody, and then we'll get into it. Okay. So when you make your work a manifestation of your passion, okay, so I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it, but I guess that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Okay. So anyways, if you've made your life's work a manifestation of your passion, and education, age, and money wasn't an excuse you could use, What would you love to do? You know, I really do see you as a caretaker, as I'm tuning into you, and I get a feeling that you seem to have this ability of opening people up the light inside of people. And I'm being told this wasn't part of the question, but I see the light of forgiveness around you. Okay, so there's been a lot of forgiveness that you've had to do in your life, and because of that, a lot of good grace has definitely come to you. But let me ask you a question. So if your work became a manifestation of your passion, and money, age, and education wasn't an excuse, what would you love to do?
I think that's the problem. I'm not sure what I would want to do. What would I want to do?
Well, I see you as a caretaker.
That really bums me out.
That bumped you out?
Well, I'm a mom. I'm a mom of two kids, and I feel like right now that has totally overtaken everything. Like, I feel like I have disappeared.
Okay. Well.
And it feels like that's what you're picking up on. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what I'm doing right
okay.
now.
Okay. Well, you know, this is not, again, it's not glib. Wherever you are, there you are. That's where you're supposed to be.
Okay.
If you weren't supposed to be where you are, you wouldn't be here. But I do get a feeling as I'm going, I have to go into your future. So as I go in about 3 more years from now, again, I see like certificates around you that you haven't got yet. And my interpretation, I do believe that you get some of them here, by the way. Okay? And I get a feeling, are you a Reiki healer?
Probably.
Probably. Okay. Well, what I'm probably seeing then is I'm getting a feeling of, I see you using the ability to, the facility of healing to help and encourage people. Okay? And why am I thinking about a dowsing rod? Do you know how to douse? Do you know what that is?
No, but I was playing with one the last time I was here. I mean, I know what it is, but
okay.
The first time I ever picked one up was 2 weeks ago here.
Okay.
Jen had one, and I was like, what? That's so cool.
Okay. Well, I think we slipped into one of your natural talents is dowsing. And as I'm following with that, now remember, you know, we're not supposed to practice medicine because we're not a doctor, but we can encourage people. And what I see you doing, first I see in front of you, and then I'm seeing a pendulum, which is another way of dowsing. And I see you asking questions, and the pendulum is telling you things. Okay? But in the future, do you know what a medical intuitive is?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the future, I see you using the pendulum, which is another form of dowsing, to tune into people and to tell them what vitamins they should take and what minerals they should take and what they're lacking. So I think you playing with that dowsing rod was something that you did accidentally on purpose. Okay. So I would definitely look into that. It's a good step. Okay. Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Now, yes, honey, why don't you?
So we had another question from our audience. It says, how do we get over or stop blocks on our spiritual development?
Okay. Well, that's a very good question. Because having blocks and things like that, it's part of human nature. Okay? And I'm not saying it's easy, but there's a famous Buddha saying, this too shall change. This too shall change. Okay? So whatever you're going through, it will also change. All right? But again, if you pray and if you meditate and you know, one of the four agreements, for those of you who know what the four agreements are, is to be sincere. So if you are sincere, you will get through this. This too shall change. This too shall change. And here's a metaphysical interpretation. Ask not why this is happening to me, but ask why this is happening for me. So what are you learning from this?
Thank you, John. And next, we actually have a question that came in by email from Cindy in Buffalo. Cindy says she's been having a little bit of difficulty with a sibling who has a difficult personality, and she'd like to know if you can tune in and see if you can give her any advice on how to best deal with the sibling.
Okay, now without knowing the sibling's name, it's hard to tell. But anyways, I feel it's a male. Now, let me just say something. If it's not a male, how can I say that? One of the natural laws is gender. So there's male and female energy. So when a medium tunes into a person and they say, oh, I want to speak to the male in your life, it may be a female, but the female may have male energy. So it's all energy, okay? So it feels like it's a male to me anyways. And I'm not allowed to diagnose, but I get a feeling I'm going into the child's diet, okay? And I'm not saying that sugar is very bad for them, so I won't say that. Isn't that tricky? Okay. But I get a feeling it's in their diet, okay? And I get a feeling, my interpretation, you've allowed this child to get away with so much, now they think that's the way it's supposed to be. So, Mom, you're going to have to be a little bit unpopular and basically start putting this beautiful child on a behavioral program, okay? But obviously sugar. Okay.
I think that was an adult, John, but I guess everyone can change their behavior, no matter how old they are. And next, we do have a question that came in by text from someone who wishes to remain somewhat anonymous. So she gave her initials LMC, LMC in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. She says she recently had a loved one pass on, and she wants to know if you can tune into this loved one and see if he was aware that he was very sick and going to die, or if it hit him as sudden as it seemed to hit everybody.
Okay. First of all, let me just address the one that I just did. So when we tune into a person, whether they are a child or whether they are grown up, we tune into their emotional body. So we tune into their emotional behavior. And that's obviously what I was doing. Okay. And so I get a feeling that this man that passed on, I get a feeling he had dreams. Okay. And he also had problems in his digestive system and around his heart. And he also got a feeling he would lose his breath. I mean, he had to sit down and he'd get dizzy. So something was going on for a very long time. But I really feel as though he didn't mention it to anybody. But we know that he's in a good place. And you have to know that he really did love you. He really did care for you, and he meant the best for you, honey.
Okay. And the next question comes from Kevin in Hamburg, New York. It's a multi-part question. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people pass from cancer, and Kevin had a friend, Melinda, who died of cancer several years ago. And he's been wondering if she has been trying to help him and guide him from beyond. He's also wondering if you feel that he should connect in Lilydale. He feels that Lilydale is sacred ground, and he's thinking that maybe he can connect better when he's there. And he has a wanting to know about the crystal skulls, if you see him being assisted by the crystal skulls, I guess.
Okay. First of all, your loved one who's passed on with a cancer disease, they want you to stop thinking of them with that disease because they're not there anymore. Okay. Now, the real reason why I feel as though you should come to Lilydale, and I feel as though she's inspiring you, that by being in Lilydale around all those mystical and mediumship people, it'll raise your vibration and you'll begin to feel her more. So it's more important that you feel her presence more and get messages through your own psyche rather than going through a medium. That's the first thing that she wants to share with you. Okay, I believe we're coming to the end of the show soon.
Now, can we fit in one more question about lucid dreaming?
Okay. What is the question?
Okay, this comes from Nicole in New York City. We have a lot of shy people. Okay. She wants to know about lucid dreaming. She had a lucid dream the other night. She actually was in control of the dream, where she went, what she held in her hand, what she saw, and everything. Her two guides were there, and she got two messages. Then one of her guides stood behind her and drew a circle over her head and asked, she asked him, what are you doing? Then he said, he was opening your crown. And then he said, follow me. And both of my guides started talking, but I woke up. My question is, if you wake up during a lucid dream, is it because you're not supposed to hear the message? And is it possible to return to the lucid dream to get the rest of the message or guidance?
Okay. Well, first of all, the whole purpose of the dream and them doing that symbol over the whole purpose of the dream that you had, it has to do with awakening and opening up your higher self. And the reason why you woke up right after the dream, they wanted you to get the message. They wanted you to remember this, okay? Now, it is possible sometimes you could slip back into the lucid dream, but it's very rare. But you got the message, okay, that their guides are with you and they're bringing you into higher ground. And, you know, by the way, when we start to have several lucid dreams is a passageway when you become very serious about your own development, about your own mediumship. Lucid dreaming is a way that the guides will come and inspire you and help you. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your church before we go off the air.
We're in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, and we have services at 11 a.m. on Sunday, and it's the best community of people on the planet. It's just so free-flowing and happy here that it's fantastic, and we do lots of stuff. We are blessed that Bolts of Love can be in this building and do so many joint activities.
Okay.
Oh, and Wednesday night we have the healing service.
Okay, and everybody doesn't know your name.
Oh, and I'm Jen Shepherd, and thank you so much, John, for being here. It's been fantastic.
Okay, and thank you all for the people being patient and listening to other people's trials and tribulations and dreams and aspirations. God bless you, and it's possible for you to be lonely. It's impossible for you to be alone. If you who knew walked beside you at all times, it would literally blow your mind. So until we speak next time, God bless you, and good night.